Hallelujah. Wow, what great messages we've had. I think the pace is going to slow down a little bit after the last session. And I definitely need notes. I just noticed he walked up and I'm going, oh, praise God, the guy doesn't have any notes and he's just right before me. But what a great message, amen. All the messages have been great. You can be seated tonight, today, this afternoon. Lose track of the time, don't you, at conference? Praise God. You know, I was so, just to hear the title of this conference, Multiply, Multiply, Multiply. What a great title for a conference. And you know what, it was funny because last year we came here and we brought a few of our team and they really grabbed a hold. As soon as that got spoken out, multiply, 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 they just grabbed a hold of it and they said, we want to start praying that over our ministries. And we've got a, it's a transformation centre about 140 k's out of town, outside of Geraldton, called Wandalgoo. And they started praying that out there. And at the moment, we're renovating that place, getting it ready to take people in there so they can be transformed, so the power of God can minister through their lives and bring transformation, not rehabilitation, but transformation. Because we've got a God that it transforms, amen? And so they started praying that over that place out there, and we had a 100 sheep, right? And in 12 months, we've got 230 sheep. We started having twins, triplets, and now quadruplets. And the ewes are going, stop praying, will you? You know, because it's just multiplying out there, multiplying. They've got that many sheep, I don't even know what we're going to do with them. But I did learn something out of that, and that's this. God is into multiplication, especially if it's about his lambs. God's into multiplication, especially if it's about his lambs. And I want to talk about multiplication today. You know, when we talk about multiply, 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 it's actually a mathematical equation. And you know, I was thinking about it, even a very small number, if it's multiplied over and over and over again, becomes a great big number very quickly. It's speaking of exponential growth. And I want to say today, don't despise the start of small beginnings, because when Jesus touches something small and multiplies it, it's multiplied over and over and over again, and something small can become something huge in a short period of time with a touch of Jesus on it. Five loaves and two fishes, come on. Think about that. It just kept on multiplying. Every time they put their hand in the basket and took out some fish, it was filled again. It was multiplied over and over and over again. You know what I was thinking about mathematical equations? And there's just a thought come to my mind. And I don't know if you can help me with this, but it's just a thought. If in America they have math, and in Australia we have maths, does that mean we've got more problems than they do? Hello? Hopefully not. Hopefully we don't have as many problems as what they do. I'm not judging anybody or the things, but it was just a thought. Today I want to share about multiplication. You know what, at school, I went through grade 8, 9 and 10 and I did really, really well in maths. And then they said, next year we want to put you into advanced maths because we think you'd be great at it. I said, oh, all right, that's a bit of a step up. So next year I'm going to school and I went into advanced mathematics. The problem was when I left school, I was multiplying and adding numbers, but when I got back, I was adding and multiplying letters. It went into algebra, and I'm going, I haven't got a clue what this is about. Anybody like algebra? No. I feel sorry for you. And it didn't make any sense to me, so I couldn't actually work out the equations. But there's formulas in mathematics that make sense of the numbers to bring about a solution. And at last year's conference, it was just a God thing that I got asked for the first time to get up and just to announce the conference for this year. Multiply, multiply, multiply. And as soon as I announced it, I went down and I sat down in the congregation and God gave me a word. And it was just a thought and it was just a scripture. And I'm on my phone typing it down and Just goes, what are you doing? And I'm going, I've just got to get this down before I forget it. The problem is now I've been thinking about it for 12 months, so I've probably overthought it now. That could be the issue I've got right now. So I've had to strip this back a little bit. I'm just so blessed to have the opportunity to come and share with you today. And hopefully it'll speak to your heart what God wants to say. See, the scripture God gave me was about a great guy by the name of John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a wild bloke, lived out in the desert, ate locust and honey. I don't know what that would have been like, but not the best bush tucker that's out there. There's a lot of things that are better than that. But John's ministry was doing so well, and he started John the Baptist International Ministries. It was doing really well. His Facebook page was flourishing. There was plenty of likes going on there. And even YouTube, he was getting the hits and people were subscribing one after the other. He'd become very, very popular. Even his Instagram, he had that going. He was taking photos of baptizing people in the Jordan River and uploading it. Hashtag, hey, he had a hashtag on it, prepare the way. That was a hashtag that he had. He preached a message of repentance for God's people. And they were turning to him, and even the Pharisees were coming to John the Baptist to be baptized. And he had even challenged him. He said, show fruit in keeping with repentance. He challenged the Pharisees. And you know what? He was so influential that even Jesus used John the Baptist to combat an argument that the Pharisees had with him. They come and said, what authority? This is in Luke 22-4. It says, tell us, but what authority you're doing these things, they said. Who gave you this authority? He replied, I'll also ask you a question. I like how Jesus did that. A bit like a politician, isn't it? They ask you a question, you ask them one back. Tell me, John's baptism, was it of heaven or human origin? They discussed it among themselves and said, if we say from heaven, he will say, well, why didn't you believe him? But if we say of human origin, all the people will stone us because they were persuaded that John was a prophet. So they answered, we did not know where he was from. Jesus said, neither will I tell you what authority I'm doing these things. See, John the Baptist had influence at that particular time. Everything was going in his favor. His ministry was booming. And then along comes Jesus and walks down to the river, and John sees him and says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world. What a great statement that is. Amen? Come on. John had made a statement, he said, of the Messiah. He said, I'm not even worthy to untie the straps on his sandals. That's what he said. And Jesus comes to John the Baptist and he says, I want to be baptized. That must have been humbling for John. And we know the story. Jesus was baptized in the river. He came out. The Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And the Father spoke from heaven. He said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. There's a scripture and it's John 3, 28 to 30. It says this. This is John the Baptist speaking. You yourselves bear me witness that I said, I am not the Christ, but I've been sent before him. He who has the bride is the bridegroom, but the friend of the bridegroom who stands hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice. Therefore, this joy of mine is fulfilled. He must increase and I must decrease. John realized that he'd been preparing the way for Jesus. He'd done exactly what he was required to do. But he's saying in order for Jesus and for multiplication to take place, for this gospel to spread to a bigger group of people and impact more lives and to multiply across the planet, he said there's something that needs to take place. I must decrease and he must increase. John recognized that it wasn't all about him, but it had to be all about Jesus. And John got this revelation that even though he was at the top of his ministry, that he had to decrease and Jesus needed to be the one that it was all about. He had to get out of the way and give Jesus room to do what he wanted to do. You know what? Sometimes I think that's all God wants is just for us to get out the road and let him do what he wants to do. I know in my time, sometimes in ministry, it's been when I've got to the end of myself was when Jesus has started to move. He said, I've probably got you right in where I want you right now. I remember we used to have a conference in Halls Creek and get 700 or 800 people to it, and it went for 6 days. So this is just a bit of a holiday down here, 3 days of conference. And by the last night of conference, all of us pastors that would be there ministering, every night there'd be 200 people out in the altar getting prayed for. By the end of the conference, I could say I had nothing left to give. But you know what the greatest thing was? That were the best nights of the conference. Because we just had to rely on Him. It wasn't about us anymore. It just became about Him. And He flowed through us and touched people's lives. We've seen people healed. We've seen one night at the end, on the last night of the conference, when you could have said we were all tired and weary and wrung out and strung out, there was a girl. We were just singing an old song, and it was, "There is power, power, wonder-working power." Remember that old song? "There's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood." And we were singing this song over and over. And there was a girl from a community, a Mormon community, and she was deaf and dumb. She couldn't speak. She couldn't hear. She was born that way. And at the end of this service, while we were just worshiping God, she started to dance in time with the music. We went over and spoke to her, and she turned around for the first time. And she said, "I can hear a bit." She said, "Let's keep on worshiping." So we just kept on singing that song over and over. By the end of it, she was completely healed. She had her hearing back. Not only did she get her hearing back, she could instantly speak. She went home. Her parents weren't Christians. She went back to Warman community. She went back, walked into the house and spoke to her mum and dad for the first time they'd ever heard her speak a word. That night, she was out at the block where we had out of town in a dirt camp, and she was up there at this dirt camp. And yet she'd only heard, "There is power, power, wonder-working power." And that night she was singing choruses and worshiping God of songs we'd sang before that she'd never heard. Wow. Come on. If we can get out the road, it's amazing what Jesus can do in and through us. Come on. He said, we must decrease, He must increase. See, I've learned that there is a formula, not a formula, but there's a particular principle in the scripture, and it's this. Subtraction, addition equals multiplication. Less of me, more of Him, multiplication. See, if we see this in the scriptures in so many different areas with giving, come on, we give to God, we give out of our pocket, we have less, but we give it into the kingdom of God to add to what God's going to do. 2 Corinthians 9:7-8 says, each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. Should slow down. Not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly so that in all things, you at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. That's multiplication, isn't it? Subtraction, addition, multiplication. I had a young guy come to me the other day, starting an apprenticeship, earning really good money. Young people here, I want you to understand this. God's no man's debtor. This young man came to me and he said, "You know what? I'm doing my trade and I want to finish my trade, and I was going to build a house and I'm going to earn some good money and da-da-da." But he said, "I really feel God is leading me to go into ministry. So I'm going to finish my trade and I'm going to go to Bible college, but I don't know what's going to happen about the rest of it." And I'd just been working on this, and God just spoke to me clear as day, and He said this. Luke 18:28-30. Peter said to Him, "We've left all to follow You." Subtraction, to do the will of God. Addition. "Truly, I tell you," Jesus said to them, "no one who has left home or wife, brothers or sisters, parents or children for the sake of the kingdom of God will fail to receive many times as much as this in this age and the age to come." Subtraction, addition, multiplication. God's no man's debtor. I want to tell you today, I've been 20 years on the mission field in Halls Creek, we were, and there's many out there still doing it now, and praise God for them. But never once did we go short, because God always provides. If you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Young people today, don't worry about the house, the car, the Land Cruiser, the whatever. That's not important. In the big scheme of things, it's going to mean nothing. What's going to be important is what you did for God. That's all that's going to really matter. You're not going to take those other things to heaven, but you'll have treasures in heaven when you surrender to him and say, God, not my will, but your will be done. David said, I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor their children begging for bread. Come on. If you'll step out in faith and put him first, when you just don't worry about yourself and you worry about the kingdom of God. When we went out to Halls Creek, I remember it was clear as day. We're the only Christians in our family. Justine's family wasn't saved. And God said, if you put me first, I'll take care of your family. And he did. One by one, they started coming to the Lord, and we didn't even have a chance to witness to them. And even through, when we took that step of faith to go out there, just God using us and providing for us spoke to the family to that degree that at the end, we needed a car to go out to Halls Creek. And the unsaved family said, well, I don't know what you're worried about. God's got you everything else, so why won't he provide a car? That's a good testimony, isn't it? Come on. It's amazing what God can do if we'll just lay our lives aside and allow him to do what he wants to do. See, the greatest picture of multiplication in the scripture would be the day of Pentecost. And you know what I want to say today? God's been stirring my heart on this. God wants to pour out a fresh anointing on his church. I really sense it in the spirit. That God wants to pour out a fresh anointing, not an anointing of yesterday. Because I just want to say this, we can't build the church of today on yesterday's anointing. God wants to pour out a new wine. He talks about streams of living water. Come on, when you go down to that stream, if it's living and flowing water, you can drink of that water. And when you go back tomorrow, it's not the same water. It's come from somewhere else. It's something fresh. And we need a refreshing in our church. We need a move of the Holy Spirit because there's a generation that really hasn't seen a move of the Holy Spirit. Praise God for the Smiths, Wigglesworth, and all those that were back there, A.A. Allen, you know, all these Reinhard Bonnke and even Billy Graham of recent times. But I want to tell you, they're no longer here. And that move did what it needed to do. God moved through them in order to do what he wanted to do at that time. But I believe he wants to pour out his spirit afresh. Come on. I remember being around in the late 70s. I know I don't look that old. You know, Noah's out in the car park just banging in the last few nails of the ark, getting that ready to go. And, you know, but there was a mighty outpouring of the Spirit of God in the late 70s and early 80s. And it wasn't just in the ACC or the AOG at that time. It crossed denominational barriers. And it went into other churches. And when God moved, he just didn't move upon one church. He moved upon cities and towns. And he crossed those barriers. And he did what he wanted to do. The Catholic church up the road was singing Hillsong songs. And the car park was full. A guy that I knew that was a pastor, that he went to a combined church services meeting. And he's in there just in a corner praying in tongues. And this nun walked up to him. She said, wow, do you speak in that language as well? She said, I didn't even know what it was and didn't know anybody else spoke like that. But she was speaking in tongues under the anointing and the power of the Holy Spirit. Why? Because God moved by his Spirit. There needs to be an outpouring. In the church that I was part of, a little town in Queensland called Eyre, only about 7,000 people in the town. Church had 80 people in it. And it's a little wooden building. God started to move by his Spirit. There were signs and wonders. There was people speaking in tongues and interpretation of tongues. Come on. The gifts of the Spirit were in operation. There was people getting delivered. There was incredible things that God was doing. And the church went from 80 people to 400 people. They end up building a whole new complex there because the Spirit of God was moving and it drew people into the kingdom of God. You know what that movement was called back in that day? It's called the Jesus movement. Because it was all about Jesus. The Doobie Brothers were even singing it on the radio. Jesus is just all right with me. DC Talk did it later on. Because it was all about Jesus. People going around just telling people about Jesus. And I remember him baptizing people at the beach when they were swimming. They'd witness to somebody, they'd get saved. Let's go out in the water, just dunk them in the water. At home, dunking them in bathtubs. They were just, people were getting saved that fast. They needed to do what they needed to do because people were coming into the kingdom of God. You know what, in the early 2000s, we've seen a move from Pensacola and other places like that where God started to move by His Spirit, and it was exciting as it brought refreshing into the church. But I want to say this, whenever there's an outpouring of the Holy Spirit, there will always be a move of the flesh. And I'm not being critical of anything or anybody, but what we've seen, and if you've been around Pentecost for any period of time, you've seen some of this stuff go on. I'm saying we need a biblical outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Not that what God poured out wasn't biblical, but the way we treated it sometimes wasn't biblical. It needs to line up with the Word of God. Come on. And there's all of a sudden, God's moving by His Spirit. People are getting saved, and I've seen it in moves over and over and over again. And all of a sudden, God's moving, and people are getting saved, and the church is growing in a dramatic way. Because there's a move of the Holy Spirit, then all this weird and wacky stuff starts going on. And what happens is the church throws the baby out with the bathwater. If that's Pentecost, we don't want anything to do with it. And the church of today has sidelined Pentecost because of all the weird and the wacky that didn't line up with the Word of God. Anything else we do in church, we always made sure it lined up with the Word of God. Come on. If it didn't, we taught into it. We just didn't throw it out the window. I'm not saying every church has done this. But come on. We need a fresh move of the Holy Spirit. And if it's a biblical move of the Holy Spirit where God moves according to the Scripture and it's kept within those guidelines, I want to tell you it will only build the church and it will draw people into the kingdom of God. We're in a fresh season where God wants to pour out His Spirit and He wants the church to do it in the right way. He says in Acts 2:17 to 19, in the last days, God says, I'll pour out My Spirit upon all people. Your sons, your daughters will prophesy. Come on. Young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on My servants, both men and women, I'll pour out My Spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I'll show wonders in the heavens above, signs on the earth below. If there's one thing we need for the church of the future, it's young men and women with a vision in God, where they say, less of me, more of you. God, whatever you want to do in and through me, I just want to do it because I want to see your kingdom extended. He wants to pour out His Spirit upon us. The old men can dream dreams. You can decide which group you're in, dreams or visions. That's up to you. I'd still like to think I'm getting vision. Probably people are saying that that's a dream. Looking at me, they probably think that. You know what? We need a biblical outpouring of the Holy Spirit. If it doesn't line up with Scripture, let's teach into that and bring it into alignment, but let's not throw the baby out with the bathwater. People need to see tongues and interpretation. They need to see words of knowledge. Come on. They need to see people set free. We need to see signs and wonders and miracles. We shouldn't be just talking about it. Come on. We can believe for it if we go overseas on a missions trip, but what about in our own church? Hello? Do you realize the anointing doesn't come with the passport? Sorry, didn't mean to say that. We can believe for it in India. Why can't we believe for an outpouring in Australia? Great South Land of the Holy Spirit. There's ever a place that should be open to it. It should be where we are right now. 2 Timothy says, preach the word of God, be prepared, whether the time is favorable or not. Patiently correct, rebuke, encourage your people with good teaching. We need good teaching around the Holy Spirit. Otherwise, if it's all spirit and no word, it just becomes spooky. Anybody seen spooky Christianity? Come on, don't put your hand up. We've all been there, come on. You know what, if you want to see an example of somebody filled with the Holy Spirit, it should be Jesus Christ. I know we don't like to use Him as an example as Pentecostals because He didn't speak in tongues. But you know what? The Bible talks a lot about it in the last days. It says, day of Pentecost, they spoke in tongues. Paul said, I speak in tongues more than all of you. So it's biblical. Cornelius' house was God's Holy Spirit moved and they spoke in tongues. So it's in the Bible, so that's fine. But if you want to see a life that's filled with the Holy Spirit and flowing under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's Jesus. He was baptized in the River Jordan. The Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. He went into the wilderness and he was there and he was tempted and overcome the temptation. And in Luke 4:14 says, Jesus returned to Galilee filled with the Holy Spirit's power. And he went out and he did great things. And then he went to the temple in verse 17. It says the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written. And he said this, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. Jesus said, he is here to fulfill this. I want to say today that the anointing of the Holy Spirit is not a personal anointing, but it's a purposeful anointing. There was none of that statement that Jesus made was about him. It was all about what he was going to do and what God would do through him. It was for others. Where the anointing has become about everything that I feel. Wasn't the anointing great this morning? Hair up on the back of my neck, I could feel it there. Whew. God's here today. Come on, I'm not against the anointing. I've been in church meetings where the anointing is poured out so heavy that we couldn't even stand to play an instrument. And people need to have an encounter with God when they come into our churches. We need the anointing of the Holy Spirit in our churches. Come on. It's transformative when you come into a church building and you have an encounter with God, when you know God's real because you felt his presence in that place. That's important, but don't let feelings overtake. The anointing is not about feelings, but about fulfillment. It's an empowerment to fulfill the Great Commission. If there's ever a day that the Bible's relevant, it's right now. Preach the good news, the truth. There's so much fake news out there, people don't know what's going on. And we've got the good news and we've got the truth. See those that are bound, set free. There's an epidemic of people bound up by drugs and alcohol and other things, addictions, pornography and greed. That's out there right today. The blind will see. The world's been blinded by political correctness and the woke movement. It's time that the church opened its eyes up and just didn't follow what Facebook says. Come on. The oppressed be set free. All time, heaviness on people right now. Depression and all these things through COVID times. If there's one time people need to see the anointing flowing, it's right now. Because we've got a world that's looking for some hope. It's a year of the Lord's favor. We are called to tell people there's a God that loves them and he's full of grace and mercy. Come on. Are we a well church? What a great message that was. Hallelujah. God wants to give them life and life to the full. Without the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the church of today will never fulfill the Great Commission. If we reduce the anointing to a feeling, then the church has lost its power. Jesus modeled a life led by the Holy Spirit and anointed of God. So if you want to see what Pentecost looks like, have a look at Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, I didn't see too much weird and wacky. I can't find a scripture in there where Jesus was clucking like a chicken. Kicking like, come on. Swinging from a chandelier. But you know what? There's plenty of scriptures in there for healing people, delivering people and seeing people set free. There's plenty of scriptures in him in functioning the word of knowledge or flowing in the gifts that changed people's lives. There was a woman at the well at Samaria. Jesus went there and he had a word of knowledge about her and he just spoke over her. She said, where's your husband? She said, I don't have a husband. He said, yeah, that's right. You had five husbands and the one you're with now is not your husband. She went over. She told all the others about it, brought them back. She said, you've got to see this guy. He told me everything about my life. And it says many Samaritans come to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior through that. Come on. Jesus modeled a life anointed by the Holy Spirit. Jesus said this, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many believed in him. Not only was a life anointed by God, but it was a life submitted to God, Jesus. He said, I only do what the Father tells me to. And I only say what the Father tells me to say. Less of us, more of. How much more successful will our ministries be if we just did what God told us to do and say what God told us to say? Because sometimes we're so busy doing what everybody else wants us to do in life and everybody else's expectations, and Jesus hasn't asked you to do that. Because God, Jesus himself said, I don't do everything. I don't meet every need. If people come to Jesus and they said, there was times where they come to Jesus and they said, hey, I need healing. He said, if you're willing, can you heal me? Jesus said, I'm willing. Because he never turns anybody away. But he didn't meet every need out there. See, the reason we're burning out today is we're not doing just what he told us to do, but we're trying to do everything. And we'd be so much more effective, and we'd see the anointing move so much more powerfully. If God told us what to do and we're obedient to that and we do it, then we will see the outpouring of the Holy Spirit because God's hand is upon it. See, I know for me, there comes times, and I don't know about you in ministry, but there's been so many times in ministry that Bible college didn't prepare me for. Especially living in the Kimberleys, there was times where people went going through horrific stuff and I was called into the midst of it and I opened the Bible up and I know what the Bible says, lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and I just go in there in faith and I go to do that. But as I'm walking in, I'm going, God, I don't know what to do here in this situation. I don't have the answer. I can do that, but God, what do you want to do right here? And in the times where God has spoken to me, that's when I've seen a miracle. But it had to be me where I come before God and I said, it's less about me and it needs to be about you. What do you want me to do? See, Jesus says, learn from me. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. He doesn't expect you to carry the load of everybody's burden. All he needs you to do is do what he's asked you to do. Because if we do that, his will be done. There's enough of us to do it. Come on. There was nothing weird or spooky about Jesus. Jesus exemplified subtraction, addition, multiplication. He said, not my will, but your will be done. You know what I found amazing? Jesus was crucified on the cross, rose again on the third day. Before he was crucified, he left them the Great Commission. And he said, go out. He said to the disciples, go out into all the world and preach the gospel. That's a massive task, isn't it, when you think about it? 12 guys, he's there and he's telling them, he's giving them the Great Commission and he's sending them out to go and minister the word of God. He says, come on, lay hands on the sick. You know, you'll see all these miracles, signs and wonders will follow you. And he's talking about all the great things they're going to do and they've got to win the world. And they're there and they're thinking, far out, we've got to get a plan together. Five-year strategy. We need to plan this out of how this is all going to take place. We need to get this all happening. Come on. We need to get a team together. And they're all thinking this sort of stuff. But then something happens. In Acts 1, 3-5, after his suffering, he presented himself to them. This is talking about Jesus. With many convincing proofs that he was alive, he appeared to them over a period of 40 days and spoke to them about the kingdom of God. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, he gave them this command, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the gift my Father promised, which you have heard me speak about. For John baptized with water, but in a few days you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit. We know that scripture very, very well. But think about this. Here were the disciples being given the Great Commission, this massive task, and all this stuff that they needed to do and get on with, and their plan of how we're going to do it. They had all their strategies. They had the plans. They had it all worked out. But what was the instruction from Jesus? He says, Just go to Jerusalem, just wait. Take time out. Lay your ministry aside. Surrender it right now. I know there's a big job to be done out there, but you're only going to be able to do it as if it's less of you and more of me. Right from the start, he said, just go to Jerusalem and wait. They didn't know how long it was going to be. He said, in a few days from now, they're probably going, far out, I've still got a Sunday, I've got to preach, and all this is happening, I've got to get this done now, and that's the next thing on the agenda, and that, and I've got this planning meeting on this. He said, no, just go and just sit and just wait on me, because I'm going to pour the Spirit of God out upon you, and then you're going to be able to go out and do what I want you to do. It's about not about me, it's all about you. And they got to that place of surrender where they were in there in one accord, in unity, and they were worshiping God. We don't know how many were around when he said that, but we know there was 120 that were obedient to him, and they waited in the upper room until the Spirit of God was poured out upon them. And when it was, they went and moved under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And Peter, that couldn't even speak in front of three women, got up and preached the gospel, and thousands were added to the church in that day. Because I want to tell you today that the anointing will allow us to do what we can never do in our own strength and power. We can only do it under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We will never fulfill the Great Commission without the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Because you know why? Preaching the good news, setting the captives free, having the blind see, is only something that Jesus can do. We can't set anybody free. I can't change anybody's life. I can't transform. I couldn't even transform myself. Struggling with that still. But I know somebody who can. And if I'll just get out of the way and allow him, he can do it. I've just got to get him to Jesus. Less of me, more of him. I'm going to finish with this scripture. Mark 2:22 says, and no one pours new wine into old wineskins, otherwise the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins. I'm going to ask if the worship team could come up. Question today, where does a new wineskin come from? It comes from something that recently died. I'll say that again, a new wineskin comes from something that recently died. Not something that died 20 years ago, but something that just died recently. Then you can pour the new wine. You know what, sometimes we're so busy with our plans and our strategy, we even got our preaching outline for the next 12 months. But God's saying today, less of you, more of me. Give me room in that preaching roster to do what I want to do. Maybe there's a word in season I want to speak. Come on. Let's not plan out Pentecost. I'm not saying we shouldn't plan, we shouldn't prepare. Let's not let our run sheets ruin an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. God just needs a bit of room to move. When we come and we say, God, it's not all about me today. I'm willing to lay that down. And maybe there's ministries here and you've been seeing the additions, the ones or the twos or things are happening. It's moving forward. But you're not seeing it to the degree you want to see it. Maybe it's just bringing that ministry before him, like the disciples on the day of Pentecost, and laying it down and saying, I'm just going to come aside and I'm just going to wait on you. What do you want to do, God? I can't do this in my own strength. But I know with your anointing, you're going to multiply. Less of me, more of you. Subtraction, addition, then there's the multiplication. Can we all stand, please? I believe God wants to pour out his Spirit upon us afresh. We get so tired and weary even to the point of exhaustion, when we do these things in our own strength and when we try and meet every need. Jesus is just saying today, my yoke is easy and my burden is light if you do it my way. Just be led of the Holy Spirit. Just do what I ask you to do. Just say what I ask you to say and the fruit will come. But he's saying today, are you willing to produce a new wineskin? Because it means you're going to have to lay down some things. Sometimes it might even be laying aside a ministry, or it might even be laying aside the way you're doing things right now and saying, God, not my will, but yours be done. Because he said, if you'll bring a new wineskin, he'll fill it with a new wine. That's all the requirement is. You don't have to jump up and down. You don't have to perform. All you've got to do is say, the only requirement is bring a new wineskin. Say, I'm willing to die to self. And God, whatever you want to do in and through me, just do it. And he'll pour out his Spirit upon you afresh today. I just want you to spend some time before God right now. We're just going to sing this song. I'm going to ask the team to just to lead us. Just listen to the words of the song, sing them. It's not about the anointing to make you feel good. It's the anointing is for the empowerment to fulfill the Great Commission.